And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 146.
Oof.
Spotlight on Image Comics Union number 1. This is volume 1 from roughly June of 1993. Yes. I'm Chris Mosby.
Ancient history. And I'm Caleb Gerard. And
yeah.
And Murray Fox is trading secrets with the Cubans.
Which isn't illegal for Canada, because, you know, it's okay to go to Cuba if you're Canadian, just not American.
Is that right?
I don't know if it's illegal. I know that when, well, who is it, Jay-Z and Beyonce went, there was a big controversy. Or did they open that back up? Maybe they did. It was illegal for a long time. I don't remember. Anyway. Castro's gone, so. Or no, really, really sick. That's what it is.
He's just really, really sick, yes.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, so the randomizer, the cosmic randomator thing came up as an, it came up with independent letter I, which I decided just be easy and go image rather than dig any deeper on that, and then the letter U, and there was not a lot of choices for the letter U, so I went with, from the Wildstorm universe, I went with Union, and lucky for us, we at least get some pretty art from Mark Texiera.
Yes.
Or Tex, as I guess he goes by, because his last name gets mispronounced frequently.
I wouldn't have any idea how to say it.
Mark Texiera. Yeah, and written by a guy who I had never heard of before now and probably will never hear of again because he probably went on to do bigger and better things, Mike Heisler, who actually co-created the character with Jim Lee, who my guess is if we looked at the list of Wildstorm characters, Jim Lee's fingerprint is on every single one of them, even if he had nothing to do with it, just because he
probably owned. So.
So.
Ah, he was a letterer. More than I'm looking at his comic book DB stats, and the writing is very thin. He actually wrote some Thor. That's the only other thing, but most of it was in that Wildstorm universe. He penciled an issue of Clive Barker's Hellraiser. He was a colorist for a G.I. Joe issue, and then you look at his letterer, and you have to scroll 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, oh, a bunch of times to go through, and he has lettered everything you can think of, Dark Horse, DC, all of it, just all over the place, even stuff for Serenity in the last couple of years, yeah, even the latest Serenity Firefly Leaves on the Wind that Dark Horse is doing from this year. He's lettered that. And he was an editor on a bunch of titles, too.
Well, good. I mean,
wow, he's all rounded. He can draw, edit, letter. He's a cover artist on a couple of graphic novels for Marvel, like the old Kazar from 1990. Interesting. But yeah, he's looks like he's mostly an editor.
Which, I mean, a lot of letters have gone on to do some pretty cool stuff over the years. I mean, to be very honest about it, they've moved on to writing, a lot of them, because they know where the words are supposed to go.
Exactly. Especially if you're the editor, too. So I think that'd be a lot harder job.
And then, of course, we've got Mark Texiera, who has done tons of work, and some that I really appreciate. I really love, there was a miniseries that he did for Marvel, the Sabretooth miniseries.
Oh, I remember that.
That was awesome.
That was back in the days where I bought literally everything.
His primary work has been for Marvel, but he did some DC with Swamp Thing, Jonah Hex.
I remember him most for Ghost Rider. He did a Ghost Rider series for a while.
Yeah, he's not known for his speed, though. So.
No. I haven't seen him in a long time.
I'm sure he's come up. I just,
yeah, I'm sure he has, too.
He did the, he did a miniseries, which I think was actually done a long time ago, but finally published by Marvel, called Punisher in Space or Space
Punisher. Oh, yeah. It was Punisher in Space.
Yeah. And from my memory about the description of it was actually, it was done a long time ago or many years ago, and they just were like, it was an inventory story they decided to go ahead and publish.
Huh. Interesting.
And, my guess is he probably does commercial art and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at his online thing. His portfolio does look like that, yeah.
He's been around. He's been here, he's been there, he's been everywhere. Mm-hmm. Again, mostly Marvel, but he did this stuff with Image. Matter of fact, the only issue of Union he did was this number one.
Yeah.
Someone else went on to do number two.
It shows a whole bunch of his clients list, New York Magazine, Scholastic Books, MCI Records, Def Jam. He's got DC and Marvel, but Harris, Wizard of the Coast, Wizard Magazine, Fleer, Skybox. So yeah, he hasn't done anything on this website in a while, but anyway.
The character Union is an alien character. He has his ability for flight, super strength, enhanced durability, energy projection, and construction. He's got an energy staff, and he has embedded in his chest, he has something called the Justice Stone.
Well, it's better than a kidney stone, I guess.
I've had gallstones, so.
Yeah.
Kidney stones, I have known people who've had them and passed them, and pray to God I never have to get them.
Yes, I was unfortunately around when my dad passed one. He didn't know he had it, and he just woke up from a dead start. Oh, man, I've never seen him in so much pain at the time. My sister has done it twice, as a matter of fact.
We are clearly killing time because we do not want to read this issue. But
no, I just the talking.
We've committed to it, so I think we should.
I've had 2 days of nothing but, well, kids and my sister, so, you know, talking to another adult. I'm kind of chatterbox.
Your sister doesn't count as another adult?
Well, not when she's home. Most of the time she's buried in Twitter, talking to her friends, so. We did share a few moments of adultness watching the last episodes of, I finally got to them, How I Met Your Mother, which I was very disappointed on how they ended it.
More disappointing than Seinfeld?
I had stopped watching that a long time ago, before the end. So, yeah. Anyway.
More disappointing than Cheers?
Cheers. I blocked that from my memory, apparently, because I don't even remember watching it.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
So, the character's been here, there, and everywhere within the Wildstorm universe. He was a member of Stormwatch for a while. He was a member of the ill-fated Monarchy, which was a real POS that Wildstorm put out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was tremendously horrible.
12 whole issues, it says here.
Ooh, it was bad. He has teamed up with Wildcats, Majestic. He's been part of the NYPD. He's been part of everything. So, bottom line, he was solidly entrenched into the Wildstorm universe. I wanted to say Marvel universe, but it's the Wildstorm universe.
Interesting. There is down at the bottom. I've noticed an IMDb reference to this comic book. I'm trying to trace it down.
Well, it was. Says here a panel from this issue that we're going to be looking at of Union, where the hero is laying on a couch, appears in a segue during "quote unquote" graphic, a comics theme episode of the police procedural TV show.
Numbers. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Which for all you Firefly.
Firefly fans.
Yeah.
Mr. Universe.
So.
I can only remember him from this guy that was bipolar on ER and killed one character and stabbed to death, almost stabbed to death Naomi Wiley's character.
Noah Wiley. Noah
Wiley, yes. I'll forever remember him as that, because I was heavily emotionally invested in that show, and next thing you know, he's like killed one of the main characters and then damn near killed him, and it was like, okay, I gotta stop watching this show.
She was at Kelly something or that.
Yeah, it was just like totally out of the blue.
She was on that show with that kid with the Down syndrome for a while.
Yes, she was for a long time.
Patti LuPone.
Yep.
The things that our brains retain is really sad.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
So, this is Union number 1. Cover price, $2.50 American, $3.15 Canadian. What a crappy round number that is. $3.15. Yep. Wow.
That's quite a bit. Well, 93 for that much? That was kind of up there, wasn't it?
I would be curious to see what Marvel and DC were charging for their books, but I wouldn't say it was too far along. Probably $1.95 is what we were looking at from Marvel and DC. This was about the same time also that we were seeing all the Image guys had recently transitioned out of Marvel over to Image.
Yes,
because I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, that isn't too long before that happened, isn't it?
Nope, it's not. It's actually pretty soon, because it was 91, I think, was when they, maybe 1991 is when they created Image.
Yeah.
Quite the list of credits on the interior. We've got Mark Heisler, we got Mark Teixeira, Joe Chiodo, and a bunch of other people doing colors.
Jimmy. Yeah, the copy we got is... It isn't really easy to read, is it?
Anyhow, a lot of people worked on this book.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on this book.
And he got special thanks to John Nee for nothing. That's nice. I'm sure there's some comedy there somewhere.
Okay. I missed that before.
And so we start off at a kid baseball game. Actually, it looks like we're just at a park. We've got kids playing baseball. We got a kid, and we got Andy Griffith and Opie fishing.
Yeah.
Doc.
You're going to make me start whistling that theme song.
Yeah, that's cool. And we've got a woman with incredibly large assets.
Yes.
Drinking wine in the park with a guy with really broad shoulders and a small head.
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't have shoulder pads and a shotgun, too. That's pretty much every Image character in that time frame.
And for whatever reason, they're sitting there, they're making googly eyes at each other. Look like they got their kid with them.
So, yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, she's probably a single mother.
There you go. That must be it. And she's got really, really, really long hair.
Not that there's anything wrong with that now.
No. In any case... Beautiful art. I'm this first panel, actually, I want to go back to it real quickly. This in motion, the kid throwing the baseball, the other kid waiting to hit the ball, is just, it's really nice. And
it is. It looks almost 3D-ish.
The flag flapping in the background. I mean, you can feel the motion in that panel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can, now that you mention it.
And in the bottom panel as well, the one with the woman with the leaves falling. Again, there's motion. It's really, I mean, Texas really... Amazing.
Yeah, I've always liked his stuff.
So then we move on. We've got there's dialogue here. Yesterday, only about 3 hours drive upstate from New York City, the small rural town of Chichester nevertheless seems especially on certain summer days to be millions of miles away from any care in the world. But that was yesterday.
Now, I have to admit that this battalion character that we're looking at here, that's one of the most unfortunate helmets I've ever seen in a comic book character.
So what Chris is referring to here is the town of Chichester is now a half a crater of an explosion, and the Stormwatch of that time period shows up with Hellstrike, Fuji, Winter, Diva, and Battalion, which, yeah, it's like Juggernaut's helmet got clear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, not only that, the guy's head doesn't... I mean, Juggernaut, when he's in Juggernaut mode, his head is huge, and it fits in the entirety of the helmet. So imagine that helmet with that it's clear plastic you can see through, or glass or whatever, and then a normal size head. So it looks very strange. And then, but his mouth is uncovered.
Yeah, it's a little odd. So then I don't know these characters at all, other than
no.
A little bit. I thought Fuji was actually, for whatever reason, I thought Fuji was a Liefeld character, but
well, yeah.
I may be wrong.
We'd have to see his feet to be sure.
Yeah, I thought he was a Youngblood character. So we've got some dialogue, some incredibly racist dialogue. Battalion San, we have covered the entire area, and there is no sign. What next, my friend? And Battalion, I guess, is the leader. But we get out of the way, Fuji. These Red Cross people know what they're doing. No, no, no jobs. We just be hindering things. And
then there's the character that can't be anything like Cable whatsoever.
We have Winter saying, pointing out that the person that they're looking for has actually shown up. Battalion says, what? Who the hell are you? And we get a splash page of the Union character. Come in. My name is Union. And it's very similar to the cover image.
Yes.
He is grim and gritty. He is definitively grim and gritty.
The 90s was the grim and gritty age went through a lot back then, didn't it? Kind of a lot like what DC is right now, as a matter of fact.
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that, you know, I will cut Texiera the slack that this guy's arms are humongous.
Oh, yes.
And his feet, he's got Liefeld feet.
That's one of the biggest arms I've ever seen. That's huge.
Yes, it is huge. But it's an artistic choice. I will grant him that.
Yes, yes. And back then, that was the norm.
And he's got white hair. He's got a big blue cape, which, as we learned from The Incredibles, never wear a cape.
Yes, yes.
That was the lesson I took away from that movie. So I never wear capes, because I do not feel like getting sucked into the engine of an airplane.
Yes, yes.
Or caught up on a missile that's getting shot out, or any number of mm-hmm. unfortunates that could happen with a cape.
Yeah, capes aren't really that common anymore.
No, they're not. No. So we have the battalion character in Union trading words. Nice to meet you. Now stand where you are. You're under arrest. And Union says, I heard what your friend said, but I don't. My friend happened to have enough. Have the ability to distinguish one form of energy from another. Like you or I can tell day from night. Well, that's heavy-handed dialogue.
Yes.
We came here tracking a massive surge of energy, almost exactly matching that used by a super being who is known as a known murderer. We find this entire town destroyed, and then you show up with abilities very damned similar to the man we're looking for. Like it or not, you're coming with us. So basically, because he showed up at the wrong place at the wrong time, they're going to arrest him.
Nice.
With absolutely not even circumstantial evidence.
Well, when superheroes fight, they must fight rule is in effect here, so that kind of trumps anything else. So soon, it'll just take a minute or two, and once they beat the crap out of each other for a few minutes, maybe reason will prevail.
And the Union character has a little flashback to 6 months earlier. It did with a very Hunt for Red October moment where it zooms in on his eye and then zooms out. Except he's still speaking English. And it's 6 months earlier. He's in a place called Old Town, Maine. Only a native New Englander could truly appreciate the splendor and fury that is kindly referred to as winter in these parts. So it's a cold and lonely corner of hell. Apparently.
Nice.
We have a young lady who looks like she's drawn by Tom Mandrake.
Yeah, actually she does, doesn't she?
Won't this snow ever quit? Oh, so we've got somebody bitching about the snow, which somebody just said just a moment ago said it was beautiful. So
yeah.
She was not the one.
Well, it says only a native New Englander, so that makes it seem like she is not from these parts.
So, We get a shot of the Scott. Excuse me, I want to say, oh! There we go.
Oh, man, you all right there?
Yeah, just a little schmutz in the nixoid.
All right.
She's standing there, she's looking up in the sky, and she sees a green meteor flying overhead, which apparently is not enough to make her curious. And I guess I should be thankful that there's a fireplace in this dump. I'd be a popsicle by now. Hey, what's that? Looks like a falling star or something. I didn't know they came in green, though. Maybe it's some kind of Northern Lights thing. Hey, it's going to hit right here. Not quite, although at first, and so her house goes kablooey, and she's diving. Oh, God, what? What happened? I saw it just before it hit, but there was no impact, not even any noise. Wait a minute, so in the previous panel, it looked like there was some kablooey.
Yeah, it wasn't her house, though, because she's inside the house when she shaken to the ground.
Right, so then we are outside the house, and we got Union out there, and he's besorching and Kirby crackling a bit.
And yeah, he's either being besorched or is causing the besorching. We're not quite sure yet.
And then he quads under the ground.
Quad? Oh, that's an interesting sound effect.
Quad. And she even thinks to herself, he looks like he's about to take off, and then he falls down. I guess not. With a little moment of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Minutes later, with prior concerns about the weather no longer seeming quite so important, the young lady walks outside. This is dumb. But there's no way any real help could get here in time, not at this hour, in this weather. At least the ice looks solid where he's lying.
Okay.
There's a big hole in the ice.
Yep.
Whatever.
That was probably what fell.
There you go.
I don't know. We don't know.
All right. So she ties herself to a tree, as you do, because that's a smart thing to do.
That is a smart thing to do.
It's a very smart thing. So she crawls under the ice. She tries to grab him. Oh no, the ice is cracking. Come on.
God, there's a nice little joke. It's like, let's see. I wonder if this clothesline can support the weight of two grown people, feeling that I won't find out until the most appropriate moment. And she goes, where's William Shatner when you really need him? I don't quite get that, but whatever. I saw William Shatner's name. I thought it was going to be funny, but it wasn't. Anyway, continue.
What is the you're the Trekkie? What is the or Trekker? Whatever the hell it is.
I'm trying to think. In the '90s, he might have been in T.J. Hooker at the time.
No, T.J. Hooker was '80s.
Was it? Okay, that's the only thing I could think of.
Was this?
Let's see. '90s.
How about that scene in Star Trek V when he's when he falls off the cliff in the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, maybe that might have been about that time frame.
That had nothing to do with Rope, but he was saved by a flying Spock at that point.
Yeah, well, and Next Generation was already out by then. Actually, it was probably over at that point.
93?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so...
This isn't too much longer after I'd met my ex.
So, after a slow but mercifully uneventful crawl back to the river's edge, so... She's dragged him back, so she's stronger than she looks. She gets him to the side. He starts mumbling, no, please, they'll kill me. And she's like, oh, think Thopolins. I miss Thopolins. I just realized that.
Yeah, I know. I do, too. Every time we do one of these and see it, I think the same thing.
And she thinks to herself, oh, boy. And he's still mumbling, where am I? I remember falling. And then, Enya! And he's having a hallucination. And she's like, hello, lover. And she's got some ginormous hair.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having a little post-traumatic moment here. And he's, again, flashing back to the flashing back.
I would have to think that pose she's in would be a little bit uncomfortable for the back, too. With the, you know, trying to get the boobs and the butt to stick out at the same time. That could be dangerous for your spine, I think.
It's a ba-dump moment. She's twerking.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I actually know what twerking is.
I don't know either. I've heard the phrase. I kind of get the idea, but I don't know if I want to know. So
a couple of old white guys talking about twerking.
This is how far we've gone.
They're in normal clothes, and they are dressed like people. And it turns out his name is Omen. O-H-M-E-N. Omen. Sweet. What a great name. And her hair goes normal. His hair goes short. And they're smooching. Promise me that nothing will ever separate us again. Never again. I swear to you, Omen, what's wrong? It's so hot. I'm burning. I can't breathe. Help me. Annie, ahead of me. And he's on the couch.
That kind of takes away his toughness cred right off the bat, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's kind of a pansy. And he's inside the cabin now on the woman's couch. He's shrunk dramatically from his initial size because he fits on this couch. Mm-hmm. Or his earlier size when his arm was the size of this couch.
Yeah, that was after this, though, technically.
Right. So he's done some push-ups in the months between this scene and later.
Good Lord, yeah. He's been lifting buses.
That's right. So he sits up. He's got that helmet thing that Jim Lee really liked to draw on people.
Yeah, yeah.
God, he loved that helmet thing. I remember when he was doing it in X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Jean Grey and...
What do you call that?
Headgear. It looks like it looks like the thing where when little kids, when their heads are not quite solid yet, they put mm-hmm. those.
Yeah, it's a firestorm look, except without the flames coming out the head.
Transmission.
Oh, that's my phone. Sorry about that.
Or when you see those guys in the giant sumo outfits when they're gonna bounce against each other, like in Charlie's One.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, pulling out a Charlie's Angels reference. That's not good.
Man, we're getting there.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I saw it. It was all right.
Anyhow, so he's waking up. Where am I? No, where am I? And he sits up, and she says, "Welcome back to the real world. You've been sleeping for 3 days in your clothes. You must smell like hell. No, you haven't been breathing normally the whole. You hadn't been breathing normally the whole time. I'd have been worried, but the sleep seems to have done you a lot of good. Now I remember." You haven't revealed my presence here, have you? No, though I want it. Good. You've done well. She says, oh, thanks. So who are you? Anyway, what's with the costume? And you're not a young blood, are you? This is when the image guys actually talked. Mm.
Yeah.
He says, no, I'm a relayer in service to the Protectorate. You don't recognize the uniform? I sure don't. I never saw you before. You fell out of the sky. Are you okay? I don't know. Where is this place? Where is this building? This is my house in Old Town Maine. So a few minutes ago, she was bitching about what a piece of crap her house was. The house was. Turns out it's her house.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Okay, so. And he stands up, and then he falls down. Flump. And she says, her hair goes from being down to up. Within a matter of panels here, I think.
It looks like on the long shot from the couch she had it in.
Yeah, no, it's just...
ponytail.
Drawn weird. And she's going to get him something to eat and probably a bucket to pee in. Mm. He says, I am hungry.
Yeah, he hasn't peed in 3 days. So.
3 days. And...
she's an artist, no wonder.
Huh.
Okay.
So,
I do that with air quotes, artist, because you look at what she's painting in a couple of panels, and it looks like clown vomit.
It is really not very Jackson Pollock-y, is it?
No, huh?
It is kind of what Jackson Pollock did in terms of how he did his style, but she's certainly... Wow, that's ugly. And it turns out her name is Jill. We might have gotten that in an earlier panel, but I probably missed it.
This is a few days later.
Yeah, so a few days later, he's read a ton of books. She's still building fires. She's a week or so later. She's painting. They're chit-chatting. He says, I spent the last 6 years in college studying painting. 6 years in college studying painting. Okay, well, that says a lot about her right there.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, my primary interest was doing landscapes, and that's why I moved to Maine in the first place. Nature has a much greater presence here than it does in most parts of this country. But anyway, I was here for only a couple of months when I found myself getting more interested in doing abstract work.
Wow, that is a lot of words.
React dealing with so many large shapes and wide open spaces, and I guess I probably also a reaction to being so isolated, but that's my own fault. I mean, spending all this free time at home painting doesn't exactly make you a social butterfly.
Dear God, take a breath.
Because I meet a lot of people where I'm waitressing, and I hope you take my portfolio to some galleries in New York someday soon. No, no, I meant why are you using that color scheme? It's not very specific. Yeah, so he asks a simple question, and she gives him her life story. Mm-hmm. Which, after a week and a half of him being there, 2 weeks being there, she finally tells him her life story.
Mm-hmm.
What were they doing all this time up to now?
Trying on clothes, I guess.
Get him out of that crummy, stinky uniform. Oops, what happened? Sorry. Hold on. Apologies. My computer has decided to stop behaving. Okay. So his hair got short, too, and then long. And she...
has something to do with the change into the uniform. Or maybe he just got... he has to stick all his hair up into the head thing, and it just falls out the sides.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just
so
making
sure. Time passes. They're walking in the water, which anybody who's ever lived near snow knows that even after only a couple months, the water is still going to be freaking freezing.
Yeah, I bet.
But they're walking in it.
Chatting.
He takes his shirt off, and she's like, no way. Ooh, Jill, please show some respect for the uniform. So... his uniform comes out of his chest thingy, and then he taps it, and it goes fap! And he's got his staff of raw, no, I don't know what that is, the ramp. And then he shoots up in the air, shoom! And she says, wow. So
the Justice Stone is what does the transformation.
Yeah, sure does. And he goes back to having those huge arms. And she's zooming around. Hey, whoa, I take it all back. I believe you. Now put me down. He's carrying her around. Stop.
Yeah. Stop. So they're just like jumping in and out of their time together.
Yep. And he's pulling it. Yeah, he's doing that Superman Lois Lane moment from Superman 1. Mm-hmm. Flying her around. He's thinking to himself, a lot of it's come back to me. I'd been fighting in close quarters with two directorate soldiers in the middle of a storm. They dragged me up through the clouds, and I think that I may have been hit by lightning. That's certainly what it felt like. I remember using my Justice Stone to create a shield around me as I fell, and the next thing I knew, I was here. I'm guessing, but I think that the combination of the lightning and the Justice Stone energy in the area somehow ripped a hole in space and brought me here. Some kind of alternate universe where many things are the same as on my world, but a great deal is different. Wow. You got all that. Phew. Okay. If this is true, then all I need to do is return home, find a way to reverse the process, perhaps easier said than done. So all he needs to do is that, but it's easier said than done. I really, really wish you'd stop talking about leaving Jill, and then she shoves her tongue in his mouth.
Like you do.
Yeah, fish. So 2 days ago, whoa, this is jumping all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're chit-chatting in the cabin. He's watching TV. Unconfirmed rumors of extraterrestrials have surfaced this evening following reports.
Actually, I think they're in a bar or a restaurant.
Is that right?
Yeah, it? Look, there's people standing over by the TV.
Oh, okay.
That's the top panel. Weird. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm totally disconnected here.
Well, yeah, this just jumps around so much. It's hard to follow.
And then we get a close up on the television, and the reporter is saying, she's saying, this home video footage capturing the
alleged
aliens. Thank you. Wow. Was donated to network offices only a few short hours ago. Federal, state, and local officials have all refused to comment, and the picture is of some guys in uniforms very similar to the one Union was wearing, and Union says, this is impossible. Those are Protectorate soldiers.
There's a mention of Supreme.
And Joe says, what? But what would they be doing on Earth? And Union says, there is only one explanation. They have come here following my trail. I must confront them immediately before they find me here, before they find you. Boom, boom, boom. And
okay, now we can tell the good guys from the bad guys. The good guys have green staffs, and the bad guys have red staffs.
And the stone as well. The stone is red for the bad Protectorate guys, and he has the Justice Stone.
For some reason, it's blue on the cover, and blue when he meets up with Stormwatch. You know, maybe there's some crossing of the streams that we haven't seen yet.
Maybe it's like Green Lantern rings.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good point.
So, she's trying to talk him into getting a secret identity. I've told you before, if you run across any of those young blood types, things will go a lot easier if they think you're one of them instead of some soldier from another world. Besides, it's kind of the truth. You said the Protectorate are the good guys, right? You can name yourself after your Justice Stone or something. The Justice Stone is powered by a process that's similar to what your scientists call cold fusion. Well, he's done a lot of reading.
Yes, he has.
The word we have for it is union. Union? That sounds a little vague. It will serve. Jill, if the Directorate has tracked me here, it stands to reason that they know a way to return. I read too many comic books. Okay.
Say what?
I read too many comic books, clearly. And they give each other a goodbye hug, and he...
Is there such a thing as too many comics?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he puts on his Union outfit, his Union soldier outfit, and she's all, just come back to me. And then we zipped back to the present, back to the crater at... in upstate New York. And all of that happened in the blink of a mind's eye. Union's reverie passes. And he... Reverie. Who uses that word? And he weighs the consequences of revealing Jill's involvement with him.
What?
Okay. On my world, I represent the law. Much as you do here, I tracked a group of criminals to this world. Which is bullshit, because that's not what he did. Okay.
Yeah, that's totally backwards.
Apparently, this villain that you speak of was part of the group, and battalions off. And when discovered, they chose to destroy themselves rather than be taken back. Their self-destruction device was so powerful that this entire town was destroyed with them. How'd you survive? I managed to shield myself with the Justice Stone. How convenient. This is the biggest load of garbage I've ever heard.
Yeah, you got that right.
What would it take to convince you? You should start by handing over your Justice Stone. No, that is not possible. I see it as pointless to waste further time here. Stand aside. And he gets shizracked. Someone in the team shizracks him. Looks like Battalion, who's a kind of a douche, actually.
Yeah, he is a douche, isn't he?
And then they have a Vizash war, separating his Justice Staff. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, separating
his Justice Staff.
Hey, baby, I'm going to show you my Justice Staff. into two smaller components. Ooh, I don't like that idea.
No, that's not good.
Union generates a concussive burst that reflects Battalion's own side blast back at him with predictable results. Fizash is predictable. And he gets arged. And Fash, he puts the staff back together. Oh, so it's like that thing that Tim Drake, what was that?
Yes. It's called a bow staff.
Bow staff. Two pieces, one piece. Okay.
Yeah, and then they're fighting sticks too, I guess. Right. Interesting.
Isn't that with the Robin Tim Drake?
Yeah, bow staff, yeah.
All right. So they decide to have the superhero on superhero action, and this chick character says, "Shut up. We should have gone this route from the beginning. What good to try and reason with a killer? Her power to manipulate sound and its attack." Yeah, so she attacks him with sound waves, kind of in a silver swan motif. And he reflects that back at her. And she shakows her. And Fuji comes in. Speak for yourself, villain. And he quacks. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to do it like Stewie from Family Guy. Quack.
I'm going to have to watch that show. I've never watched any of them.
Whip cream. Cool whip. Yes, you do need to see. You do need to watch it. I'm surprised you never watched it. It's
one of those things, every time it was on, is like, well, the ex hated it, so of course, you know. You know how that goes.
Be sure the kids are not in the room.
Oh, well, that I know. I've seen enough of it to know that.
We were at dinner with this other family, and the dad of that family and I were talking about watching Family Guy with the kids in the room, and we would just sit there with the remote in our hand, just really not wanting to change the channel, but just waiting for that wrong moment so we just have to power off or switch the channel, because they go places with that show.
Yeah.
So
that's why I like the Roku 3. It's got the built-in headphones.
Smart, yeah. So you plug your headphone into the remote and you're good to go. You never have to worry about the kids hearing anything.
Yeah. Except I'm sure there's things to see that you don't want them to see.
Yeah. So finally the Red Cross calls and Battalion Bell, stop it. We need to figure out what's going on here. And then go, I've told you, I'm not your enemy. It looks like you're going to get a chance to prove that. What the hell? This is really piss poor. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The writing is not good at all.
And so they decide to leave Union alone, and they leave. So they sit and they fight and they fight and they go, never mind. We're gonna go help the Red Cross. So they go running and flying off, and Union just stands there. And when they start digging out people from the rubble, because it turns out there's still people alive underneath the rubble. And dig, dig, dig. And Fuji is moving mountains, literally. Mount Fuji.
Hey!
That was not funny. And then they realize that Union is not a bad guy, that he's actually helping, because Fuji's out. Perhaps it was unnecessary to leave our opponent unguarded. What? Battalion, son! Move back quickly! The ground!
Falls through.
Not fall through. Here come Gazira! Fuji's warning is cut short as the weakened earth beneath him suddenly gives way, and he is taken from sight as quickly and thoroughly as if he had never been. This guy is in the Chris Claremont motif.
Yes, he is.
This is what I'm getting. Okay. Playing for all the Sea Harbor is the effect on the accident upon Battalion, whose psi shield still extended to surround the children and now pushed to its limits. Fuji, damn it. No. Answer. I can't.
Yeah.
my shield's still inside, and there's no way I can lift this weight.
Spock! Put that at the end.
Hang on, Battalion. I'll torch my way through. Don't be a fool, says Union. You have no idea what kind of combustible gases maybe you have been hovering around waiting for your chance? Enough, and says Battalion. This isn't a damn debate. Union, whether you're here to help or send me to hell or do something now. So he takes his staff, and without another word, Union puts his justice staff to work, digging an angular tunnel into the earth. So they're going to go at it kind of like how when a kid falls down a well.
Mm-hmm. Go sideways.
Sideways, which is smart. I remember there was, wasn't there an episode of Seinfeld, or not Seinfeld, of Simpsons, where they had Sting digging to get Bart out of the well.
Okay. Another show I've never watched.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I gotta watch Futurama, too.
Yes, wow. I'm not as much of that one, but I Simpsons and Family Guy have gotten many years of watching for me. So, anyhow, so the pressure's off. Hellstrike, do you think you could possibly shut the hell... Whoa, the pressure's off, Battalion says, and Union comes...
I'm sorry, I just went to the wrong place.
Ooh, pressure's off. Union Cthulhu's... No, the Coombs, not Cthulhu.
That's close enough. Take a drink.
Take a drink. The Coombs out of the ground with Fuji on top of him because he is super strong, I guess. And we get shortly...
He better be with muscles like that.
So, you'll be fine, honey, and you and your sister just swallowed a lot of dust, that's all. Where are Mommy and Daddy? Nurse? And Battalion says, Union, I appreciate the assist. You could easily have left us there. But there are still a lot of unanswered questions, of course. But Battalion, there's something probably metal reflecting light at the bottom of this hole Union made on his way out. It looks as though there was something below the basement. That was my impression as well, Battalion son. But it is difficult to confirm, but after I have buried under that... Battalion says, right. Did you know about this, Union? There was no time for sightseeing. Then you won't object if we investigate it top to bottom. Please do. So, several hours later, they've investigated. So it looks like it was just an empty chamber, totally undeveloped, whatever it was supposed to be. But if you were keeping a secret from us, it was a pretty dull one. I'm assuming that the underground area is one of the things the criminals I tracked here died trying to protect. I'd really like some details on these criminals, especially if one of them... Oh, God. The mom and daughter are arguing in the background. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'd really like some more detail, especially if one of them was the man we faced. Sorry, it's my affair to handle. It's a matter of honor. Surely you understand. Only too well, but I still can't help feeling that you're hiding something. Of course he's hiding something. He just told you he's hiding something.
Yeah.
So he offers up his fingerprints to prove his innocence. You take it. He shows up back at Jill's house. Jill, oh, hey, you're back. All right. And so what happened? I heard about... I heard about Chichester on TV, but the press has been blocked from getting any real details. When I found the directorate soldier, she says, in shadow. That was hard to see him there.
Mm-hmm.
I found the directorate.
So basically there's a whole bunch of action that happened that they're just going to word it out.
Yes.
Interesting.
So they have this awesome artist here, and they decided to put words instead of action. Mm-hmm. And she talks an awful lot. And, oh, please, I swear... I'm going next page, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I swear if I hear that one more time, I'm going to hurl. And we go up into space.
Well, basically, at least tell him what happened. It says here,
please,
he tracked them down, and there wasn't a couple of them. There was hundreds of them. And instead of being... they assumed he was a scout, so they just blew themselves up. And that's why there's a crater. So anyway, and he blames himself. Now back to our regularly scheduled
our regularly scheduled program in progress. And she's got a big smile on her face because there's hundreds of people dead in some other place in New York, and she's up in Maine, so what does she care? And we get to outer space elsewhere, which turns out the outer space.
Damn it, I hate it when I do that. Oh wait, well, we're almost done.
We are. High above Earth floats an object that, to even the most sophisticated detection equipment that current technology can provide,
it's Mr. Terrific in a Hawkman suit.
It's OMAC.
Anyway, sorry.
It's Brother Eye. And he is, in fact, the very man they both hoped and dreaded to find at the ruins of Chichester, New York. He is Regent, firstborn of the royal family of Vagina, Aegina, prince of the directorate, heir to the throne, and the shame that he feels over his absence in his people's hour of need is nothing compared to his rage as he silently vows that those responsible for the destruction of the directorate hidden base will regret the day that they were ever born.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy didn't write very much? Really?
Yeah, that was something.
This guy didn't do a lot of writing. I'm shocked. Shocked. He's written more professional comics than I've written, so...
It's true.
Kudos for that. Mark Texier can draw really pretty, and
yes, he can. We've given him a chance to.
And I see a lot of potential with this book. It's kind of got that Quasar, Green Lantern thing going on. Hello.
I'm sorry, I was reading an email. Yeah, the Green Lantern thing. Exactly. Sort of well, it's two different, a war between two different factions, it seems like.
Yeah. And it's going to bleed over into the rest of the Wildstorm universe at some point, which is cool. And I'm glad we did this. You know, I'm finding there's a reason why a lot of these books that I've been randomly pulling up for us to take a look at that neither of us have ever read before.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of us, you know, including Murray, there's probably a reason why.
Yeah, there's definitely a reason.
For my part, I was actually not really huge into the Image stuff.
I wasn't either. Well, one of the reasons was they couldn't get the damn things out on time.
Well, yeah.
Spawn was the only one I really read for a long period of time, and I eventually stopped that.
I think Spawn and... Wildcats were the only two I stuck with. In Wildcats, it was spotty, and Spawn, like you, I dropped off maybe after 2 years, maybe 3 years, whenever that Neil Gaiman story was going on with Angela and all the rest of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I had a lot. I sold all my Spawn stuff before I moved to Washington State, so I had a pretty good run of them. I've went back and picked up a couple of the trades. The only other one that I got interested in, Savage Dragon, there for a while. I picked up several of the trades off of eBay. But I think they're putting out Archives now. I thought about reading it. I just wanted to know about the character. I got to that stage where it's like, okay, I've read all this. I've read all that. Well, let's check out some old stuff. And it's mostly due to... my lack of enthusiasm of DC right now.
Well, it's a good time for that. I think that DC is offering up an opportunity to pull back on purchasing their books and maybe catch up on some of the quality stuff that did come out over the years. And Marvel is putting out some incredibly great stuff lately.
I have to admit, they are. I love Daredevil and Hawkeye, which I don't know how much longer Hawkeye is going to be.
Well, if you get a chance, pick up the latest issue of Amazing X-Men. It's got... It's got Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yes, I have read that already. That's one of the... I actually have a subscription to that.
Karen Immelman doing the writing on that. So.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a little cheesy, but it was still cool because I love that cartoon.
I thought it was a clever little issue. I'm glad it was a one shot. And anyhow, so and you know, Marvel again, like we were saying, they're putting out some really good stuff. DC is between good stuff.
Oh, speaking of, have you heard the news? I know you're a fan of the all-new X-Men with the young X-Men team.
Yes.
Apparently, they're going to put Miles Morales from the Ultimate Universe in that team.
Interesting.
The Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, I thought the Ultimate Universe was still intact. Okay.
Apparently, yeah, it is. I know there's titles coming out, but for whatever reason, they decided to put him on that team. I just read that this morning.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
They just put X-23 on that team, so...
Yeah. Oh, did they? See, I haven't read that in a while.
And they took young Cyclops off that team. He's off in...
Yeah, that's right. I wondered if they were going to do that, or do the, you know... do that kind of thing. Anyway.
He's got his own series with his... with his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, written by Greg Rucka, so I'm actually going to probably check that out, because I love his work.
The first issue wasn't bad.
It makes me wonder if he's going to be doing like he did with the Punisher and just calling it in, and then putting all his real effort into his own stuff, which I'm surprised he's even doing one.
I guess we'll find out in a month or so.
Yeah.
So anyhow, this is probably why you and I... Again, I'm sure Murray didn't pick this up yet either. Union was not on our radar until now. And I don't think there's anything wrong with visiting these things. It's just sometimes it is painful to experience.
The 90s, anyway, wasn't exactly the best era of comics. I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was some great stuff, but yeah, there was it was flash over substance.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, this is a great example because it's a beautiful looking book, but it is mediocre writing. It's no Shakespeare.
No.
It's not even Rucka.
It's not even, you know, Shakespeare's second cousin Bob.
Oh, hey, Bob Shakespeare had some very good career editing and lettering as well.
So anyway.
So Dennis Heist, or whatever his name is, good for him. I'm glad for him, and I hope he continues to have many years of comic book work. And though I hope it's not in writing.
Yeah, I'd have to say he's probably better staying as a letterer, which looks like it's what he's been doing. So.
Yeah, and, you know, find your niche.
Yes, exactly. Niche it.
Niche it good. Make enough money to retire comfortably on, and don't try and cross the streams if you can help it.
Exactly. All right. Shall we wrap this up?
Oh, by all means. By all means.
Okay. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. And you can check us out on the Facebook page and join the conversation. With us and our geeky people. Or you can comment on the actual episodes. And, you know, iTunes. You know.
I knew that it still existed, right?
Yeah. I don't have it installed. I don't have any Apple devices, so. But, I got the company phone, but, you know, it's shut off right now. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Adios.
And we're out!